Well, you know that it's going to be alright. I think it's gonna be alright. Everything will always be alright when we go shopping. Well, you know that it's going to be alright when we go shopping.
Good morning, shoppers, non-shoppers, and everyone everywhere listening to the Unsecret Shopper radio show this morning. My name is Johnny Wright. I am your host, your maitre d', your concierge. I'm taking care of you for the next 60 minutes. Appreciate you tuning in this fine Saturday morning. Straight up 8 o'clock on the show this morning, we will hear from Kevin Krause. He's a senior VP for marketing for Come & Go. Also from Jeff Leonard. He's a spokesperson for the National Association of Convenience Stores. Why all this chatter about convenience stores? What in the world is going on? Well, last week, I did a secret shopper review of Come & Go. Not just one Come & Go, but all 27 Come & Go's, which are located in the 2010 Dex Yellow Pages phone booky dealio dough, which, by the way, expires in November, I understand. But 27 of them were there. I thought, all right, I'll secret shop all of them. I didn't do it all in the same day, being the rational human being that I am, but over a period of 5 days. And it was extremely informative and enlightening and fun, and I'm a convenience store aficionado. Like, if you could major in that, major in the art of eating, drinking, sleeping at convenience stores, I think I would probably graduate with honors. And so over that five-day period, I went into Come & Go stores looking for certain things. I'm going to talk about that criteria in a moment. First, a little background on Come & Go, who we all know are one of the dominant companies in the convenience store category. The company was founded or began back in 1959 in Hampton, Iowa, by two gentlemen who were definitely visionaries. William Krause and Tony Gentle started the idea, and it didn't actually start in 1959. It sort of morphed in 1963 into the idea of, can we sell gasoline and groceries under the same roof? And we look at that now and think, well, that kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Sure. And probably a lot of other things besides groceries, too. But back then, it was pretty far-fetched, pretty revolutionary concept, very progressive idea. And so the idea of Come & Go was born, and the name Come & Go came from the Krause Gentle Corporation, KG. They played with it in the 70s. It became Come & Go. This day that we speak, there are 439 Come & Go stores. I imagine they're building the 440th somewhere. Scattered over 11 states, the company employs 4,000 employees and generates somewhere in the neighborhood of $1.5 billion of revenue every year. The Krause family is very philanthropic, very involved in the community. There are customer service programs that Megan Kring, who is a director of communications for Come & Go, described to me at great length, and very kind of her to do so last week. There is something called the GUEST program, which is an acronym. G-U-E-S-T stands for Greet, Uniform, Encourage Sales, Speedy Service, and Thank. That's clever. And that is part of the training that all Come & Go employees go through at the beginning of their hire. I believe I was told there's 40 hours of training up front. I assume that's 8 hours a day spread over 5 days, but roughly that amount of training. And it's not just about, obviously, customer service, but a lot of the elements that go into working at a Come & Go. There is also KG University for new employees. This is attended by new hires, new employees, new managers, and it is a more intense training that focuses, again, not only on customer service, but other elements of the Come & Go philosophy. Come & Go hires a mystery shopping company out of Ohio to go into their stores to mystery shop them, as yours truly does, and to take that information and to compile it into data and numbers, which are then given to all the store managers at each location. And then those store managers can then take a look at the picture of their store and say, all right, I need to work on this. This is okay. I need a little more work here, et cetera, et cetera. There is also a video secret shopping program at Come & Go. in which, and very interesting, and I when I heard about this, I thought, wow, you know, I've been pitching this to clients for a long time, and it seemed to make sense. When a store has a built-in security system, a camera system, I always thought, well, you've got the camera right there. Can that capture the video and audio from the interaction between the employee and the customer? And then take that, file it, store it, and then play it back later in maybe a one-on-one. Well, that's not exactly how Come and Go does it, but they do have a video surveillance system in which also they utilize that for secret shopping. They can go back and remotely they can look at video and audio and perhaps get a better idea of what's happening at that particular store. And so with that all laid out, clearly this is a company that has made a commitment to customer service. You don't have nearly 450 stores generating $1.5 billion in revenue and 4,000 employees over 11 states. You don't create that kind of infrastructure without having some level of commitment to customer service. Because, and particularly in with convenience stores where it is about multiple transactions. What did I read? 160,000 customers come through the Come and Go stores every day. I think that's on their website, maybe roughly in that area. It is transactional. And so every time a customer comes into a Come and Go store, the employees have an opportunity to imprint that customer with a smile, a greet, all the good stuff. And the more customers that come through the door, the more you have that opportunity to imprint. The question is, will you, can you, do you at each location? I have a criteria with the secret shopper program that I do. My company is called the Biosphere, B-U-Y-O-S-P-H-E-R-E. You can Google search all of this, of course. And the program that I've created is what I call the five pillars of great customer service. And you've heard me ramble on about them on this particular radio show. They include smile. That seems simple. It seems simple, but also, as I've discussed at great length and also blogged about, it's not always an automatic thing. In fact, rarely is it automatic. There are some people in which it is, but for most of us, it is not. Especially when we're processing, when we're thinking about what we're doing, we tend to not be grinning at the same time. I guess our brain needs all that space to just do the thing we're doing. There's the greet, and the greeting is important. Do people greet us with great body language? Do they greet us in an engaging, authentic manner? Or is it automatic? Is it knee-jerk? Is it that I've greeted 1,000 people this morning today, and you're 1,001, and you're I'm going to make sure you understand that you are the 1,001st person. So that is important. There's the engagement factor. I call that anything that has to do with anything other than the very process of what's going on at the transaction. In other words, when a clerk says anything else, which is very common, anything else? What, anything else? Is that it? That's not engagement. Engagement is, hey, how was your day? Or what are you doing today? What's going on? What are you doing for the holidays? What are you doing this weekend? A question that's designed to elicit some sort of response to get to know me as a friend. Now, you're not going to get much of a friendship at a 10-second transaction at a counter of a Come and Go, understood. But at least the action of it, the opportunity to engage a customer and maybe make their day a little brighter, a little better. So that's engagement, the third pillar of the five. Fourth pillar, the thank you. Common, we're taught it as children. Commonplace, thank the person for coming in. Just thank them. Thank you for buying, thank you for coming in. And it makes sense because, you know, without us spending the money at the store, then there's no money in the till that the people can't ring up at the end of the thing and then send that into the bank, and then that goes to the Krause family, and they say, all right, the store's doing well. We can keep these employees on. So a thank you, that makes sense. Now, the fifth pillar is follow-up. In this particular case, although Come and Go has sort of created an infrastructure to capture that by permission, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but the four prime things that I was looking for as I went into every Come and Go were smile, greet, engage, and thank. There was also the bathrooms. And were they clean? And was the floor clean? And I didn't just sort of walk in, look around. You know, like when you ask your kids, hey, you know, is your bedroom clean? Go look at it. And they go look, and they come back, and maybe they just, like, popped open the door just a crack. And, yeah, it's clean. you know, there's more to it than that, a little deeper. And so, and with the bathrooms, I would go into each bathroom and I would, of course, look around for debris and I would smell, you know, just breathe, see how it smelled. And then I would take a paper towel, although not all of them have paper towel dispensers. It is my unfortunate word to pass along to you. And I wish they did. I wish it just not having a paper towel access, I don't know, just seems weird. But anyway, and I explain that more in the blog. But in any event, paper towel, wet it, run it along the base of the toilet. All right? Run it along some areas. Is there dirt coming up? Run it along the floor away from the toilet area. How's that looking? And also the cracks between tiles. I know you're trying to picture maybe perhaps Johnny the Unsecret Shopper wandering around in a bathroom doing this. But the even the handles on the doors or the side where you're where you touch the doors if they sort of swing open without a handle or whatever. So that's the criteria. Out of the stores that I secret shop, here's the tallies, here's the raw numbers, first of all. Let's talk about smiles. 27 stores, I got 9 smiles. Okay? Greet. I was greeted 12 times at the counter, and I made a differentiation between greeting upon entering a store versus greeting being greeted when I went up to the counter. And also I should mention that I would purchase an item. Here's my process. I would walk into the come-and-go store. I would slowly walk past the counter. I wanted to give the people on the other side of it every opportunity to greet me. I would then go walk to the restroom, the men's room, go in, check it out, come back out, wash my hands first, then go back, grab a soda pop, diet caffeine-free Pepsi, which they all had, I'm so happy to say, in the white label, beautiful white label, go to the counter, get in line, ring it up, hit the road. That was my process. So when I come in, am I greeted? First thing out of the gate. There are convenience store chains. Actually, there's one convenience store chain that really trains on that, and it's consistent, and that's Quick Trip, which I've spoken about on this radio program and blogged about. Do they greet at the door? Do they smile upon that greeting? Is anyone smiling as I walk past? Do they greet when I come back to the counter? Do they thank at the end of that transaction? And while I'm walking out the door, do they engage while I'm at the counter? And so here's the raw numbers. There were 7 greetings at the entrance out of 27 in which I was greeted as I walked in. There were 12 greetings at the counter, 12 out of 27. There were 9 smiles given out of an opportunity for 27. There were 7 thank yous. And I was engaged twice. Those are the raw numbers. You know, looking back from 10,000 feet, I say, you know, there's probably some opportunity to do a better job there. And I know that the people at Come and Go in corporate positions, management positions, who are reading and have read the reviews that were posted on Thursday morning and Friday morning in two parts, because, you know, I didn't want to give you all 27 in one big hunk, are reading these, have read them. The Krause family people have read these. And I know they have concerns, but they're a very forward-thinking company, and they also want to focus on the positives. And I am not alone in that. And I'm sorry, they are not alone in that. I want to focus on some standouts. First of all, 2 companies got every element correct. In other words, smile, greet, engage, thank, did all 4. That was the store at 3200 Southeast 14th. And the location at 4585 156th. Frank at the 3200 Southeast 14 store, I think he's the manager there, that store has honors. Not only did they do all of the pillars of customer service, but the bathroom was squeaky clean. Awesome job. Give it up for the location at Southeast 14th. Great, great job. Awesome. There are also 5 standouts I want to mention that people, from their engagement level, Frank, I've mentioned the Southeast 14 store. Steph at the 5308 University Avenue store gave probably the biggest, happiest initial greeting of all. She was awesome. Alex at 156th. He was the only employee, honestly, who really did engage me, just like a friend would, asking me about my day and what I was doing that weekend. Awesome job. He needs to open his own store. Allison at the Pleasant Hill store is a complete stud. Smile, has that natural smiling attitude. Those are the kind of people you want, just happy people in general. And oh, by the way, they happen to work in a convenience store. Paul at the Douglas Avenue store, been working there a long time, 10 years, I believe, as an assistant manager, had been in, told me much about the secret shopping program, and it was just a stud. Great job out of him. Also, bathrooms, notable. And now the award for clean bathroom. Here are the nominees. All of these bathrooms were great. The bathroom at the 101 Army Post Road location, Come and Go, did great. 8228 Douglas, beautiful bathroom, very nice. 5800 North Glen and up in my neck of the woods in Johnston, nice job, very clean. 3200 Southeast 14th, I've told you about, great bathroom. And 5308 University, all of those bathrooms were awesome. So congratulations to those people. Obviously, there is some work to be done, and those and the people there have been informed, and they know it, and they are going to work on it, I'm sure. And many of these reviews will be shared with the employees and who I ran into along the way. So what is the expectation should we have for convenience stores, and what are some things, resources that convenience stores have in general for customer service, teaching, and training? We're going to set the table coming up with Jeff Leonard. He's a spokesperson for the National Association of Convenience Stores. And later on in the program, Kevin Krause will join us. He's the Senior VP of Marketing for Come and Go. All that on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show rolls on at 8:16. You're listening to it with Jotty on AM 1350. KRNT. Good morning.
Toy store, pet store, shoe store, music store.
Yeah, you can pretty much get all of those things at a convenience store now. Toys. Pets, shoes, music. The pet thing, probably not so much. You're listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. It's 8:19. Happy Saturday morning. Happy one from the weather forecast standpoint. Sunshine 89 today. Tonight 67, and then thunderstorms may dampen the weekend, the latter portion of it for tomorrow. A little bit later in the day, expected to start the thunder boomers blow up, of course, as the humidity and everything rises. And like I know anything about weather, at 85, more rain Sunday night, and 66, then a slight chance of thunderstorms back to work Monday and 82 right now. We're at 70 degrees. He is the spokesperson for an organization you may not be aware of, the National Association of Convenience Stores. His name is Jeff Leonard, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, Jeff. And tell me, how did you get involved in the convenience store industry? What took you there?
Well, I had a background in petroleum. I worked for a couple engineering associations involved in chemical engineering, mechanical engineering. That was more upstream petroleum involved. Convenience stores are certainly downstream petroleum involved, and just happened to know somebody that worked for the association, talked about where what I did might fit in nicely, and it worked out pretty nicely. I've been here about 10 years. Convenience stores sell about 80% of the gas in the country, so clearly what I knew with the engineering, with the upstream stuff, really helped out in what I do now.
And help me, I'm dumb, draw me a picture. What does upstream versus downstream mean?
Okay. Upstream means essentially anything before and including the refinery. Downstream, what happens is with oil, it comes from Saudi Arabia, from OPEC countries, from offshore, goes into a common pipeline, goes into a refinery. The refinery produces a bunch of different things. It could be plastics. It could be jet fuel, home heating oil, or gasoline. And then after that, it goes back in the pipeline, usually a common pipeline. And then it goes to terminals, those big round things where the trucks come, they fill up, and they take it to the service station. What's called downstream is as soon as it leaves the refinery. It goes in the pipeline, terminal, truck, and then to the station.
Well, since we're kind of talking about oil, I'm going to ask you one BP question, and it's just this is going to be a softball for you. But when people say things like, we're going to boycott BP because of what's happening, of course, with the oil spill. Do the owners see that? I mean, I know the stock fluctuates, although I understand it's back up for BP. But does it really have? Do people really do what they say they're going to do? And I ask it because my sense is most of us really don't. We may be up in arms, or we're angry, or we're frustrated, but ultimately we'll go buy our gas where we buy our gas and our food where we buy it.
Well, that's true in places where they get that the station selling the BP gas isn't connected to the BP brand. They just sell a brand of liquid, and the challenge is for those stores that are located near interstates, for instance, if you see five logos and one of them's BP, most people today are saying, hey, you know what, that's the one I'm not picking. If you see a small store that doesn't have its own brand, you're generally thinking that store is owned by BP. But BP doesn't really own stations. They announced they were getting out of the business about 3 years ago. They may be 100 left, and they really don't profit when you buy gas out of BP, because if you think of the petroleum system like the banking system, after you refine product, you put it into a common pipeline. It gets all mixed up. There's no identifier there that says this is BP gas, this is Exxon gas, this is anything else. The only time it becomes BP gas is there's an additive spritzed in at the very end, and it could be produced by somebody else. But BP will sell its gas. It may be selling it to an unbranded station, whatever. But excellent question in that these boycotts, people may think they're hurting BP, but they're probably hurting a small business.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's and that's my thought, too. And it's easy to have a knee-jerk reaction to anything in which people are obviously being affected and hurt in their livelihoods. And it's in the news every day. And it's horrific. It is an epic disaster of epic proportions. But having said that, as you said, Jeff, this affects mom and pop. I mean, this not buying your gas at BP or anywhere affects families. I mean, it has a direct impact on the people that in essence you're trying to protect by doing the boycott.
Right. And what we've said is, if you want to hurt an oil company, reduce your demand. That means buy less gas overall, not just from a certain station. That means turn off your AC. That means buy less plastic goods. It means changing your lifestyle. That's how you punish a major oil company, because they're all, it's a common pipeline. There's a lot of things that are together, and the oil companies will be able to get rid of their product if there's demand. Reduce your demand, you'll make them less profitable.
My guest is Jeff Leonard. He's a spokesperson for the National Association of Convenience Stores. He joins us here on AM 1350 KRNT this morning. Jeff, was there anything in your past, were you a convenience store nut? Because, I live at them. I mean, I eat, drink, sleep. If they had beds, cots, I'd probably live there overnight. Was there anything in your past, did you have a penchant for convenience stores when you were younger, or did it just sort of happen?
It really just sort of happened, but I mean, face it, we're guys. We love convenience stores. You know, that could be breakfast, lunch, and dinner some days. Now that I've been there 10 years, my wife and kids know the drill. We drive past a convenience store, a brand I've never seen before. We go inside. We check out how the racks are laid out. We check out the products. We check out what their ice is like, if they have the chewy ice, which is really fun to chew when you get your drinks. So I mean, they know the drill, and then the kids they give me feedback on what they liked about the store and all that. So it is a lot of fun. There's 145,000 convenience stores in the country, so about one per every 2,100 people. So you don't have to drive far to find one.
Gosh, oh my gosh! How did we go from, you know, nothing being open on holidays, you know, and spending Christmas and Thanksgiving in our homes, bought our dinner all through the week at normal grocery stores, quote unquote. How do we go from that to when you go out on Christmas morning and you go to a Quick Trip here locally or Come and Go, whoever it is, the place is packed.
Yep, it's Christmas is 7-Eleven's busiest day, and that's whether it's because of batteries or tape or any last minute things that you need. Or if you have all the family over, what better reason to get out of the house? So they do business because of that, too.
That's great. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot those batteries. Sure you did. Right, right, exactly.
Yeah, I'm going to go out and get a cup of coffee. I'll be back in 3 hours.
That's right, exactly. Well, let's talk about customer service, which is my passion, and I know that's a big part of every store, whatever its category, particularly convenience stores. How does your organization affect that, or how is it involved in the customer service aspect of what convenience stores provide to customers?
Well, customer service is actually more critical to convenience stores than most retail channels. And I know that there's the misperception of the surly clerk and all that, but I mean, the clerk is really the face of your store. And if you don't have the right person greeting customers and dealing with customers, they'll go somewhere else. And it's very much, in our industry, you hear people talk about the Cheers model, where everybody knows your name, where when you get to the counter, they already have, if there's something there at the counter, that they know you want, they already have it out for you. And obviously, Quick Trip in your area is one of the companies that does that very well. And anywhere there's a Quick Trip, you can be guaranteed that everybody else in the area does things very well because you have to. I'm astounded by some of the stores that you see the customer service, and you just see that their passion is dealing with people. And mm-hmm. most other channels, you're ringing something out. You're looking at the barcode or something like that. In a convenience store, you may be ringing that up, but you're usually looking the person in the face. And if you don't have a good experience, well, I told you, there's 145,000 convenience stores. You'll go somewhere else. So customer service, you've got to have it. And the other element is just because of age-restricted products. You want to make sure that you're selling products that are legal and you're selling them responsibly to the right people. And that means whether it's lottery tickets or whether it's cigarettes or whether it's alcoholic products, you want to make sure that the right people are buying those because you're part of the community. You want to keep it right.
And I always thought that businesses that have the highest transactional numbers can have the greatest impact if they elevate their customer service because they're just in contact with people that much more often.
Oh, absolutely. And it really is. We have a really big trade show where we have about 80 educational workshops and we have plenty of them dedicated to customer service. And if you don't wow, basically, if you don't wow the customer, somebody else will. And it's only going to take the customer so long to go somewhere else. So you do see stores that have mystery shoppers that you don't want to really be punitive. That doesn't really feel good to a lot of employees. What you want to do is you want to find ways to reward them. So if they do something great, you compliment that. And if they do something that they can do better, work with them. Because oftentimes when you feel that you're just going to get punished, it doesn't feel like it's affecting change. It feels, it just doesn't feel as good for customer service.
Sure. It's the stick versus the carrot. You're right. And we all react better to, and that happens in training all the time. Jeff Leonard is my guest this morning. He's a spokesperson for the National Association of Convenience Stores. Jeff, what resources does your organization have in terms of customer service for the convenience stores that are part of your organization? Do you have training modules? I mean, how involved do you get, if at all, on that aspect?
Oh, yeah, we have training modules that go through how do you handle belligerent customers? How do you handle all customers? But whether they're behaving inappropriately, the customer is always right, but the customer isn't always right. So you do want to make sure that you're putting your best face forward for the customer, but you're also giving the clerk the ability to make decisions so that they're not put in a bad situation, whether it's a belligerent customer because you won't sell them beer or anything like that. So we have training modules, we have videos, we get together with networking programs. We have one of the biggest trade shows in the country. You get about 25,000 people, and it's pretty incredible, the products and all the other things that you sell there. It's just imagine the biggest convenience store in the world.
Hey, listen, I'm starting to drool just thinking about that. Absolutely. Jeff, what is the biggest issue, the biggest challenge in any category that convenience stores face today?
Well, probably a couple. It's always competition because really you're not competing against convenience stores today. You're competing against everyone. Everyone looks like a convenience store at the register, whether it's Best Buy or Petco or Michael's or you name it. They're selling candy. They're selling drinks at the counter. So you better understand the competition, and you better understand that the customer has a lot of choices. So how is that competition? It affects pricing, and how do you price? How do you get the right people? I think from a broad industry standpoint, you have things like credit card fees, which are a critical issue now. The banks probably make about a nickel a gallon when you pay by plastic, and that's why you see cash discounts. So credit card fees are huge in our industry. And I think the lack of profit selling gas, I don't think most people know that the retailer probably makes maybe a penny and a half a gallon profit.
Wow.
And the banks make 2 cents a gallon or 5 cents a gallon profit.
Wow. Wow. Wow, that's mind-blowing. I can't imagine many people actually know that.
Yeah, well, Quick Trip's certainly not a typical store, and a lot of the stores in your area aren't typical stores. But the typical store sells about 4,000 gallons a day, makes about a penny and a half a gallon, and makes about $60 a day selling gas. But gas gets you to the store. You're much more likely to go inside if you're getting a fill-up. So the goal is to give them that fill-up and then to give them a whole bunch of other things, make them want to come inside the store and buy something else.
If people want to know more about the National Association of Convenience Stores, Jeff, of which you are the spokesperson, is there resources? Obviously, you have a website. How do they find out more?
Yeah, we have a website. It's NACS Online. Our name is NACS, National Association of Convenience Stores. So it's NACSonline.com. We have things like fact sheets. We try to explain gas issues. We have some videos up there on some interesting stores. We're adding some more fun stuff as we go along, because it is a fun industry, but we're really trying to support our members and then just try to talk to the folks that go to convenience stores. You have about 160 million people a day that go to convenience stores. So it's a pretty fun industry.
Well, Jeff, you're one of the people on the front lines for your organization that makes it funner for all of us. And, of course, those of us who are convenience store aficionados like moi really appreciate that so much. So, Jeff, we appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
I'm glad we could join you today.
Jeff Leonard, spokesperson for the National Association of Convenience Stores on 1350 KRNT and the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show. I want to thank Jeff for joining us. Coming up, we've got reader response to the come-and-go evaluations, and then after that, Kevin Krause is the Senior VP of Marketing for Come-and-Go. He will join us with his response to those evaluations. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. It's 8:33. Good morning. 8:35 now, the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show, which you are listening to on 1350 KRNT. Coming up, Kevin Krause. We'll see if he's smiling or frowning about the Secret Shopper reviews of his 27 stores in the Des Moines Metro. How many smiles did I get as I perused those stores? I got 9. I got 9 out of 27. So not great. Yeah, maybe could have been better. Reader responses to the Unsecret Shopper reviews of 27 come-and-goes, which you can Google search and find online. Sully says, Johnny, one of my biggest pet peeves is not getting thanked after I spend my hard-earned money anywhere. I have even asked for my money back when I don't get thanked. I've worked in the customer service industry since I was 16. I can put up with many transgressions, but please say thank you when your transaction is finished. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Sully. Terry says, it's good to know there are a few good, well-mannered employees at Come and Go. Johnny, I hope you're using rubber gloves and hand sanitizer after checking those bathrooms. Yeah, it was gross. Even if they were all would have been clean, it still would have been gross. Lisa Lewis, who is a spokesperson, she's a social media advertising and promotions manager at Come and Go, wrote, thanks for taking the time to visit so many of our stores and share your experiences here. As you know, we care very much about customer service. We'll be following up with each store directly to address the issues you encountered. We look forward to more posts, of course, in which that was the day before the Friday post, which was posted. And then Megan Kring, who's director of communications for Come and Go, wrote, good morning, finished reading your blog. You certainly are thorough. You were right. There is some positive in the report, but certainly issues that will need to be addressed. And so we strive to provide an ideal customer experience. That's from Megan Kring, who was very kind. Coming up, Kevin Krause was very kind. Join us this morning. He'll be talking about his reaction to the Secret Shopper reviews of his stores, plus a lot of other stuff about the Krause family and the Come and Go history. All that's coming up next. You are listening to the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. We go right to the businessmen and women who are right at the top of the heap on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. So tune in this morning at 8:39. A sunny day in store for you wherever you're at throughout Central Iowa on 89. Secret Shopper reviews of 27 come-and-go stores. You can find those at the Unsecret Shopper. Google search them. You'll find them. Thursday was the first one. Friday was the part two. 13 the first day, 14 the second. By the way, 10 of the stores did nothing. Didn't smile, didn't greet, didn't thank. And so I'm sure those stores are going to get talked to. Hopefully not by Kevin. Kevin Krause is the Senior Vice President of Marketing for the come-and-go stores. He joins us this morning. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
I have to ask, ask you first. I always thought there was anyone who is born and raised into a family that is extremely successful and is and has, and particularly with the Krause family and Come and Go, of course, which has been in the family since its inception, practically. Is there... I mean, what are your family get-togethers like? Do you talk about, hey, how many beef jerkies did you ring up at that store on Hickman? Or tell me about being in that family and in that arena.
Sure. We grew up, retail was really a point of discussion at many dinner tables and conversations. So it was kind of an innate aspect of kind of the upbringing for us. And we do... when we get together, do tend to, at some times, gravitate into conversations, certainly about convenience stores and when our stores in particular. But at the same time, I mean, it's there's the whole gamut of things, and I think sometimes we recognize that we don't need to necessarily talk about that off time, but there's certainly times where the situation comes up that needs more immediate attention.
Well, I would think it would be, it's kind of like, it's not the 800-pound gorilla, it's the 8,000-pound gorilla. I mean, I think it'd be very, very difficult because that's got to be just on everybody's mind. I mean, how do you step away from it?
Well, I think it's just a matter of, I guess, trying to direct the conversation so it's pertinent to all, because recognizing that it's not always just Come and Go people engaged in the in a get together. So I think it's just important to kind of try and strike that balance. I mean, certainly it's part of our core DNA, and even through osmosis, my kids, my wife, look at things from a completely different perspective. Had we not had that kind of focus, so I guess in the short term, we're creating more people to have the focus, just like you do, as far as customer service and how to have the best store appearance to all of our consumers.
Kevin, if you would tell us, give us a little family tree, how you plug in to everything else that the public generally knows about the Krause family and Come and Go.
Sure. I am I'm the oldest of three children. My brother Kyle, my sister Kate. That's the chronological order. Worked from the company when I was in the fourth grade. Started working at the store in Hampton, and did that through college and through law school, and then practiced law. Ran a couple sports franchises, ran a bank, did a lot of variety of things, and came back to Come and Go a little over 2 years ago.
Kevin, was there ever a time in your youth or as a young man when you said, you know what, I just want to go be a rodeo clown? You know, I'm not sure I want to do all this convenience store stuff. Or did you just always know, yep, that's what I'm going to do?
No, in fact, I was probably the opposite. I was looking for other things to do, and thus kind of my career path went a completely different direction once I was through with school and on my own.
How did your, as an attorney, and you went to law school, and tell me how life's experiences growing up in that environment, how have you been able to take that and sort of harness that, not only as an executive, but just in life? I would imagine that the lessons learned through having that popular and that successful a business model must just be endless.
Oh, it's, yeah. You learn, I guess, right at the core is that hard work is the catch-all, that if you outwork your competition, you're going to be successful. And every opportunity you have to exceed what they're doing is giving you two steps, because you've picked up some and they've fallen behind. So that just is kind of the mindset, and it really applies to any job or any career that you want to take. If you take it with the tenacity that you're going to be the best and you're going to accomplish more than your competition does, more likely than not, you are going to be successful.
Kevin, has there ever been a time during the growth of Come and Go when you've looked at Kyle or a family member and you've just shaken your head and smiled and you said, I just can't believe how successful this is and how fast we're growing?
Oh, I think there's been numerous times, I think, that we've done that. We had a sequence that we acquired a 100-store chain and basically doubled the size of the company within 48 hours. And that was just an incredible time frame. And then to look back at that, the people that experienced that recognized the effort and the tenacity that take to put that together, but nonetheless took a sense of pride and said, hey, we are a much bigger, we're much more global, we're outside of the state of Iowa, we're in multiple states now, and that really was a big step. And I think there's been probably other sequences through the time frame that you look at that, and today nearly 450 stores, the third largest private convenience store chain in the country. You look back and say, wow, that's amazing when you think about a small store in Hampton, Iowa 51 years ago with the whole template for this organization.
And one thing that I'm impressed with Come and Go is that I think through your marketing or just the vibe of Come and Go, you've always tried to make sure that people never forgot, that customers never forgot, that it started in this small town with this small place and this little idea.
Well, I think that just it was inherent. My dad's roots were in rural Iowa, and I don't think he was ever going to forget that. That was something that helped him kind of mindset that whole process going forward, and I think he appreciates everything that happened to him in Hampton and how it helped him springboard into other opportunities, and he takes tremendous pride in the store that's still there. It's not on the same existing real estate, but our store number one in our numerical sequence is Hampton, Iowa.
My guest is Kevin Krause. He is the Senior Vice President of Marketing for Come and Go. He joins us on the Unsecret Shopper Radio Show on 1350 KRNT. Kevin, what's a typical, and I put quotes around that word, what's a typical day like for Kevin Krause?
Basically, the marketing department, we're responsible for the products, the prices, where they are in the stores, any promotions that we're doing. We're looking to that. We also have the communication side, thus you and I having this conversation right now, both the external communication to the general public, the internal communication that we have to our stores, our supervisors, and our staff here at the Store Support Center, and then also our point-of-sale systems, our price book, the products that we have coming in to make sure that they're at the right wholesale and retail prices that we've agreed upon to purchase the items and then also agreed upon to resell those. So when the stores scan the item, it rings up properly and everything's accounted for. So those are just kind of the things that we try and balance here in the marketing department.
Kevin, what when I set about to do this secret shopping of the 27 Des Moines area Come and Go stores, I knew that obviously I would find good things and bad things. That's how it is. That's retail. That's life, and that's business. But I also was trying to think about, all right, when this gets to the Krause family, when it starts making its way into the corporate and people are reading it, I always want to think, how are they going to look at this? And so my question is, when you first read the reviews, what was, say, the first thought that ran through your mind, or what were you thinking as you read them?
I guess I was looking at opportunities that we had. Here were scenarios that were things that we want to focus on the positives as far as the people that you recognize that were exemplary, that did even some of the little things that were important. And then also the opportunity that we have to say, here's some scenarios that aren't something that we would consider come and go worthy, and how can we improve upon that? And sometimes it, as you look at those things, to read that, and as we kind of use some of those situations as teaching tools, is to recognize that every opportunity that we have is an opportunity to touch someone in a positive light. And sometimes I think in the quest to do everything else that we want to do in the store, to make sure that the store is profiled correctly, to make sure we've got the proper promotional signage in place, to make sure that the daily report is done, to make sure that we've got the floor swept or whatever those things are, that we're still trying to touch people And every opportunity that we do that positively is another relationship that we can hopefully maintain with that person.
Well, you really dovetailed into my next question, Kevin, and I do this. I talk about training all the time with my clients, and that left brain process driven stocking the shelves, as you said, sweeping, cleaning, whatever those things are, the tasks, the skills that go with it, that the right brain engagement part, it is really a talent, and it is so easy to forget that part when employees get engaged. How do you what do you do? What does Come and Go do? What sort of training do they have to sort of bring that to the employees' forefront?
Even prior to training, one of the things that we do in our assessment of applicants is look for strength that they have as far as people skills, the ability to engage and interact with people. And that's something that we really tried to put more of a focus on in the last couple years to take some of the execution strengths that we have as core competencies here and see if we can enhance that by getting people that are free in conversation, that are comfortable handling situations, good or bad, with customers, and really trying to take that from the first step, then engage them in what we feel are the training principles that we have to have, getting the guest program understood, making sure they understand the simple five steps that we're trying to engage there, and then reinforcing that. And the best reinforcement we probably have today is we, on our receipts, ask our customers to tell us how we're doing and to go online and to fill out an assessment of how they felt they were handled and why. And so we get that feedback to our stores very quickly, and so they have a kind of a target to look at and say, okay, here was a situation where this customer was not happy because of this, or there's a situation where you rose above the occasion in this customer's eyes, and those are things, if we can replicate, we're going to have great scores. And so we take the scores that we get and we cum them, and then use those as metrics for our store managers to gauge their successes, and then we incentivize them to improve their scores.
Kevin, do employees ever get an opportunity, and I do this with my own training, do they ever get an opportunity to firsthand engage customers and who are evaluating them, not in a buying scenario, but are there customer focus groups and people, and you tape the sessions and you play it back for employees, or is there any sort of that? Is that go on it with Come and Go?
We haven't done it recently. We've done it in the past. We haven't had them. We haven't had recently the stores or the opportunity or the store associates the opportunity to watch what customers say to them, and certainly has some merit. It's not something we've done recently though.
Sure. My guest is Kevin Krause. He's the Executive Vice President of Marketing for Come and Go Stores. Kevin, what's the secret shopping is obviously at the core of why you and I are talking after the Secret Shopper Review. And I understand that the mystery shopping program at Come and Go is pretty detailed. And it not only is it in person, but it's also done remotely with cameras. Is that accurate?
Yeah, what we do, Secret Shop, we have actually physical people like yourself that have gone into stores, and then we also we monitor situations, making sure that we're also, as we monitor the scenario, we're also trying to gauge how many people are in line. Is that associate, or is the other associate jumping in if we have too many people in queue, trying to recognize situations where customers are what their expectations are. We don't have detailed audio or things of that nature. We're just trying to make sure that we're covering situations that we can better improve and use those as teaching moments for our associates.
Have you seen, and our instinct tells us this is true intuitively, have you seen a correlation between stores that rank high in customer service, stores that rank high in secret shopper evaluations, versus those stores' revenue generation?
Yeah, there's a definite correlation that we see that, and so we try and take that into account. There's so many variables that come into play on individual stores, but certainly recognizing the opportunities that these people have and rewarding them for doing that is a big part of what we do. And so they see that if they treat the customers well, get good customer scores on that, then in turn they do get a better bottom line.
Kevin, what's the future look like for Come and Go? Are we going to see Come and Go? Are there products? Are there branding? Are there stores outside the realm of convenience stores that you're looking at?
We will probably stay with our core convenience store principle. We have expanded our proprietary product offering significantly in the last 2 to 3 years. Our Highland brand, our Java Ridge coffee. What the next step for us is we're looking to see if we can improve our food offering to our consumers. We're also looking at a larger footprint store that we will have built here in the Des Moines area, hopefully in the next 3 to 4 months. And so we've got some kind of fun, exciting things on the horizon.
Well, I know that convenience store aficionados like myself, and that's not even a joke because I basically live in them, and Come and Go's included, are very excited about the future of the convenience store industry. And I guess that's maybe the last question I have. Why is it, and there's nothing negative about this, but, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, Christmas Day, we were all home eating dinner with the family. I mean, Thanksgiving, everything was closed. Nowadays, you go to a Come and Go on Christmas Day, and it's packed. Is that a good thing? I mean, I guess it's happening. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think certainly it takes a special person. And one of the things that we focus on doing on Christmas is throughout our building, we take stores, and on Christmas Day, we will call every store in the chain and thank the person on duty for being there that day for us and keeping Come and Go viable at that time, because today's consumer expects to be able to have those opportunities. Oh, gosh, I forgot to get milk, or I forgot to get this product, or, oh, I just guess, I want to get some soda and that type of thing. So there's a bit of an expectation for the consumer, but, again, we view ourselves as in the convenience world, and to be convenient, you've got to be what your customer wants when they want it. And so that's why we've got the vast majority of our stores are open 24 hours. They're open 365 days a week or year, and just available for you at all times, because we know that different people have different needs and different desires as far as their convenience store goes. And so our aspiration is to meet those.
Well, the philanthropic efforts of your father and your family, Kevin, are very well known, and the community, all of us have benefited from those efforts, and of course the stores themselves are of great benefit to those of us who need to run out at 2 o'clock in the morning because we just got to have a Snickers, And
yes.
So all of us thank you for that, and I appreciate you coming on the show, and I know sometimes those things where our baby is ugly sorts of things can be tough, but everyone in your organization's handled it extremely well and been very kind to me. So I just want to thank you for that and for coming on.
Oh, we appreciate the perspective that you gave, and our goal is to make sure the next time you come in that everybody is going to get a 5.
Kevin Krause, Senior Vice President of Marketing for Come and Go. Whether you're coming or going and you came and went already, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. A convenient, safe, happy, and fruitful one. Thank you for tuning into the Unsecret Shopper radio show on 1350 KRNT. Google search the Unsecret Shopper to read more about the reviews from last week of Come and Go and dozens of other stores and locations throughout Central Iowa. Shop happy, serve happy. That's all we can ask.